Well, good morning. Thank you very much for the warm welcome. I'm preaching somewhere else this evening, and I hope they give me an even warmer one. But it is good to be with you. It's a real treat for Kate and me to be with you this morning, see some familiar faces, but also some new ones, and that's a great, tremendous encouragement to see people here this year who weren't here last January when I last came. So really encouragement. I wonder if I could follow that by doing the Bible reading now and then praying for boys and girls as they're going to go out to their Sunday school. Another Bible reading. This is the passage I actually want to speak on in a moment or two. Psalm 139, that's page 628 in the church Bibles. But it fits in so well with that song we've just sung that I thought it would be good to read it straight away, particularly because at the end of it, and this is one of the things we're going to be thinking about, David writes this: "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Reading from verse 1. "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's pray. Oh Lord, we want to be led in the way everlasting. We want to live now in this world the life of heaven. We want to live as your children, forgiven, full of love and praise and thanksgiving, walking in holiness and righteousness with you. Help us, Lord, help us today to be reminded how to do that. For any of us who have not yet started on that journey, oh Lord, please, would you bring real spiritual life to our souls? Point us to Jesus that we may walk with him and be forgiven and cleansed and made new. Pray for the boys and girls as they go out to Sunday school. Please help them to learn precious lessons from your word. Help those who teach them. May they learn of your love and your righteousness and your holiness and your goodness. May their eyes be focused on the Lord Jesus. And we pray that, Lord, for all of us here this morning and those who are watching online. Have your hand upon us, Lord. Speak to us from your word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I think the boys and girls zoom off now. And perhaps the rest of us can keep our Bibles open at Psalm 139. I'll be in trouble this morning if I do warm up, because I'm all wired up with a mic on my coat. So if I get warm, you won't be able to hear me anymore if I take my coat off. Perhaps if I do, someone can remind me to remove the microphone. Let's start with a couple of questions. Do you ever revisit your own thoughts? Think, was I right to think the way I think or the way I thought? And I'm not, you know, maybe it's a worry like it was for David here, my anxious thoughts. Was I right to have worried about that the way I did? And this isn't, don't worry, this isn't a, don't worry, it might never happen, but it could be a, should I have worried because it didn't happen? Or should I have worried in the way that I did? Should I have thought about it in a different way? Should I have brought God much more into the picture as I was facing that particular challenge or difficult situation? Or it might be, am I right to think about a particular individual in the way I do? Or in the way I have? Should I think in a different, more Christ-like way about that person? Might even be, what have you been thinking about even since you came here this morning, if your brain is warm enough to think anything at all, that is. And I'm struggling with that at the moment. But it might be, you know, have I been thinking right thoughts even since I've been meeting with God's people here this morning? So that's one question. Another question is this. Is there anybody in the whole world that you would be happy to know everything you think? Anybody in the whole world that you could pick to say, I wouldn't mind you following me through whatever I do every day, and actually even getting inside my head and knowing every thought, even before I say anything, even before I do anything. Is there anybody you would choose to be like that for you? Would it perhaps be somebody, well, only if I knew they were far, far worse than I am? The theme of my talk on Psalm 139 this morning is God knows me. God knows me. He knows everything about me. This psalm was written by King David, and the extraordinary thing is that he was happy with the knowledge that God knew everything about him. He was with him all the time and knew all of his thoughts. Even to the extent that he invites God at the end of the psalm to look again, to search him, and to give feedback, to tell him what he finds. It shows us that God, not only that God does know everything about us, but that there is a way to be happy about that. That even holy, holy, holy God knows every single thought in our heads. But it also shows that David did question his own attitudes. The psalm starts with these words, verses 1 to 3, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down, you're familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. It starts with that, and it ends, verses 23 and 24, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He is happy that God knows him, and he wants God to lead him in the right way. Show me what you find. Search me and show me what you find. Asking for feedback. But now, most of the middle of the psalm is actually a list of the many ways that God does know him and reasons why he can rest in that knowledge and dispel anxious thoughts. Because there's one part of this psalm, I'm sure you noticed it, you can't miss it really, that really stands out as being different from the rest of it. I was particularly drawn to notice this in this psalm when it was read at a funeral service. And I thought, what a lovely psalm to read at a funeral service, apart from this little bit towards the end that just seems to jar, doesn't seem to really fit with the rest of it. I'm sure you noticed it. But I rather suspect that those verses, those statements that actually stand out are the reason why this psalm was written. Are the start of it all. So first of all, I want to think about why David was anxious. And I think we find that here in verses 19 to 22. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from you, bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. This, I think, is the reason why David was feeling anxious and asked God to examine his thoughts. Am I thinking rightly about these people, or am I thinking wrongly about them? Now, I'm not going to answer that question, because the psalm doesn't answer it. David is saying to God, please show me, am I thinking rightly about these people or not? Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Maybe there were some elements that were right and some elements that were wrong. But David wanted God to show him. And that's where we should be, isn't it? Lord God, please show me where I'm right and where I'm wrong so that I can put things right. So that I can walk in the way everlasting. I can walk with you the life of heaven on earth. See, David was in a special position. Of course, he was king of the country. So these people were a threat, not only a blaspheme against God, but they were a threat to himself personally. And to the kingdom. You might well ask yourself this question. What do you think Vladimir Zelensky thinks of Vladimir Putin at the moment? How might he think of him? Both as a threat to him, his own personal life, but massively a threat to the country over which he is the elected ruler. Well, let's just quickly review David's anxiety about these people. And you can be thinking maybe, you know, some of the things that make you anxious. Not necessarily people, but events, circumstances that you're facing to make you worry. But for David, this is what it was. They were wicked, wicked people. They were bloodthirsty people. They were blasphemers. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. They were unbelievers, or they were people who spoke horribly about God. They hate God, those who hate you, O Lord, those who rise up against you. So he hates them in response, and he wants them dead. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. That is how he reacts. And he wants to know, am I right in reacting that way, or am I wrong in reacting that way? Am I overreacting? So he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is an offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You could say, well, David, surely you're right. You should hate people who hate God. You should hate wicked people. Well, was he right or was he wrong? Well, he wants God to show him. Now, you will be facing different challenges from this, I'm sure. We do face wicked people. We do face blasphemers. We do face people who hate God. But they're not as much a threat to us as they were to David. But we still have to know how to react to them. How should we react to wickedness in the world today? How should we react to laws that are passed in our own country that are obviously against God's truth and God's word? How should we react when we hear people using God's name as a swear word and thinking nothing of it? How should we respond? How should we respond when we face a very difficult diagnosis medically? How should we face when we lose our job? How should we react when we face rising bills? When we can't see our way through our financial problems, our family problems, our employment problems, our health problems? How should we respond? Well, surely we should take David's line and say, Lord, please search my heart. Show me the right way to think, the right way to behave. So we move on to see how David dealt with his anxiety. And I'll stay with those verses 22 to 23. He invited God to examine him and show him any errors and lead him in the right path. And he was really resting in the fact that God already did know every single thing about him. Verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. He is pleased with that, as we will see. I'm going to keep on trying to point this out to you. It's not as if he's actually trying to run away from God. He is pleased with the fact that God knows all about him. And he invites God to search him afresh and show him what he finds. He's pleased with this. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Now remember, he thinks this is great. He's pleased about this and he invites more of it. And I would just pause at this point and say, well, do you feel the same way? Are you pleased that God knows your thoughts from afar? You pleased with the fact that God knows exactly what you do every moment of the day. When you sit down and when you stand up. When you go to bed, when you get up in the morning. He knows. Are you pleased with that? Or do you dislike that? Do you feel uncomfortable with that? Do you think, I don't want God to know the truth about me. I'd rather hide away. I'd rather pretend I was different. I'd rather put on a facade. I don't like the thought that God knows, because God is holy and pure. God is righteous and he will judge all that is wrong in me. How do you get to the place where David was, where he was really pleased about this? He thinks it's really great. Verses 5 and 6, you hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Too lofty for me to attain. This word hem me in, behind and before. The word there hem in is actually a word in the Hebrew which is often used of besieging a city. You know, where an attacking army would surround a city or a town to let nothing in and nothing out, and it would be a battle strategy to try to defeat an enemy by starving them out. Well, there it is used offensively, but here it is used defensively. God has surrounded me to keep me safe. And it reminds us very much, though using a different Hebrew word, a similar idea as what we find in Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Lord, you hem me in behind and before. You're all around me. So I should be safe. I am safe. Nothing can get in. Nothing can get in that will really harm me. you protect me, you surround me and keep me safe. And this is what David was reflecting upon. My anxious thoughts, should I be anxious from the fact that God is around me all the time? Should I be anxious when, though I am king of the nation, really it is not my soldiers who are keeping the country safe, it's the Lord of hosts. It's his army that will keep us safe. Should I be anxious? Verses 8 to 10. Everywhere I go. If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. See, remember, he's happy about this. He's not saying, I want to get away. I don't say I want to climb the highest mountain because God might not be up there and I can keep everything secret from him there. He's not saying I want to go down the mines and hide away from him there because God can't see in the dark. No, there's nowhere I can go, but you're there. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Your hand will guide me and you will hold me fast. You'll keep me safe. It's a wonderful thought. Well, can you think yourself into this same situation, whatever anxiety it is you're facing? Wow, God is there with me. You know, if I have to go for surgery and I'm unconscious my life is in the hands of the surgeon and I will know nothing about it. Well, actually, God is not unconscious. I'm afraid of the dark. Well, God can see in the dark. Nowhere I can go. He's there with me all the time. Everywhere and in the light and the dark, day and the night. Verses 11 and 12. If I say, surely darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And it's wonderful to me. It's wonderful to me. This is too much for me to be able to understand it all and to grasp it all. And also throughout the whole of his life. Verses 13 to 16. So everywhere, light and dark, throughout the whole of my life, before I was born and right the way through to the very, very end of my life and beyond. You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Before I was even born. Praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. Why should I worry? Because God knew me before I was born and my book was written. The story of my life was written before I even took my first breath in this world. Why should I worry? Lord, search out my anxious thoughts. See, I ask yourself the question, why am I like I am? Why does God let this happen to me? Well, you haven't reached the final chapter yet, have you? You know, I mean, even the best books have some sad chapters in them, don't they? But the very best books have a happy ending. They go through valleys of sadness. You read that chapter, oh, you know, you're worried about what's going to happen next. But the very best ones have a happy ending. Well, for the Christian who walks with God, who knows the Lord Jesus as their Savior, there is a very happy ending. And none of us have reached the end of our book yet. In fact, we have not seen the end of anybody's book yet. Because for the Christian, our book ends with the way everlasting. That last chapter never ends. And it is the happiest, most glorious, most wonderful chapter you could ever begin to read. It's all written for me. So why has this happened? Well, I don't understand it yet. Why is this happening in my life? I don't understand it yet. Why am I having to face these people? I don't understand it yet. Why am I have to face this challenge? I don't understand it yet. Why am I facing this sorrow, this anxiety? I don't understand it yet, but it was written even before I was born by the hand of my loving Heavenly Father, by the one who holds me and will not let me go, by the one who surrounds me and protects me, by the one who can see in the light and see in the dark, by the one who is at the highest mountain and the deepest mine. It was written by him, and I know he will hold me fast and he will not let me go. So Lord, please search out my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wrong thinking in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Just in case you'd forgotten that he really is happy with this, verses 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. They are precious. David to think that God knew all about him. And this was a great way of dispelling anxiety and getting his thinking straight. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Far better than counting sheep. Far better than counting sheep. You know, our anxious thoughts, aren't they worse at night time when we can't sleep? Yeah? And it goes round and around, and every time it goes around, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and far worse. And what if, and what if, and what if, and oh, maybe. And the hardest time to control your thinking, those sleepless nights. Well, what is it? I don't know whether this is what he actually did, but what it appears from this is what he did was that he counted God's thoughts for him. Rather than counting sheep, try to get sleep, he thought about the way God thinks about him. The way God has been, all that he's written so far in this psalm. From before he was born, and he's written the book. It's God's book. God's book of his life. He's a character in God's book. All of God's thoughts to him. Loving thoughts. Eternal thoughts. Precious thoughts. Wonderful thoughts. And so as he drifts off to sleep, counting God's thoughts to him, he never gets to the end of it. And then when he wakes up in the morning, well, he's still with the Lord, and the Lord is still with him. Better than counting sheep. So, in your anxieties, in your worries, try to meditate on this psalm, perhaps. Take yourself through it, all those wonderful ways that God knows you. All those, everywhere God is with you. Put your anxieties into this picture frame. And see yourself there, everywhere, all the time, all-knowing, nothing by chance. The best books have a happy ending, and ours most certainly will, if we belong to Jesus. David was happy about God's knowledge of him, and we need to develop that same attitude and walk in the way everlasting now. Live the life of heaven on earth, inviting God's scrutiny and giving us feedback. Questions that maybe come to us, into our minds are this: is this anxiety or is this planning? Am I worrying or am I planning? Is this ambition or is it greed? Is this lust or is it love? Is this apathy or is it forgiveness? Is this legalism or is it self-discipline? Is this selfish ambition or is it godly zeal? And there are a whole load of others like that, aren't there? Is this right thinking or is this wrong thinking? Is this godly thinking or is this ungodly thinking? Is this righteous or is it unrighteous? Lord, please show me, because I want to know. You know already, but I need to know so I can repent, change, think your way, and walk in the way everlasting. Live the life of heaven on earth. And wow, wouldn't the world be a better place if even just the Christians actually walked the way everlasting? Wouldn't it make a difference? Wouldn't it make a massive difference? Okay, so what must be true about God and about us for us to be happy that God knows our every thought, word, and deed? What else must be true for us to be able to cope with that fact and be happy with it and invite it even more? What sort of person would you like to know everything about you? Well, in one sense, we would surely say God is the last person I would want to know everything about me, because he is so different from me. Jesus shows us what God is like, doesn't he? Jesus is God. When Jesus walked on earth, he showed what it should be like to live a human life in harmony with God. Perfect. If I compare myself with him, I feel intensely guilty. I'm not like him. I don't think like him. I don't speak like him. I don't act like him. I don't relate to other people like he did. The last person I would want to know my thoughts would be Jesus. The last person I want to follow me through every moment of every day of my life would be Jesus. I would feel very uncomfortable with that thought. But David is happy about it, that God should know everything about him. And David was not actually a particularly good man. We know at least that he committed adultery and that he had the woman's husband killed and that he acted as a very bad father and his family pretty much fell apart. Much of it. He was a failure. He was a sinner. How could he possibly be at peace with God knowing all the sordid details of his life, let alone his thinking, and what led to all of that? Well, he was happy. He was content with it, because he knew that though God is holy and pure and just and right, though he is a judge, he is also forgiving and faithful and kind and loving. And that's why I'd suggested that we read Psalm 32 during the service. Because this seems to relate to that same period of time when David fell into deep, deep sin. And at first, as you know the story, he tried to cover it up. He tried to pretend it didn't happen. He manipulated circumstance, situations, to try to cover up what he'd done wrong. He was living in denial. And he says this, jump to verse 3. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. When I tried to live in denial of what I was like, you were still with me. You knew all along, but I wasn't owning up, and your hand was heavy upon me. That hand which held me safe was actually now pushing down with a weight. And I could feel it, I could sense it, I knew it. I knew things were wrong in my relationship with you, very badly wrong. But then, verse 5, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Now, I'm so glad Malcolm started this service with that one, those wonderful words of the Lord Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Your hand is heavy upon me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And when David tried to live in denial of what he had done and what he was like, God's hand was heavy upon him. But when he confessed and admitted to God what God already knew, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Not covered up by me, but covered over and dealt with completely by God. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Owning up, honest, confessing. Now, all of this, that is absolutely explicit, isn't it? Really? This is what we must do. This is how we can be happy with the fact that God knows all about us. This is how we can walk with God today, because we are open books to him. He knows it already. Now, those of you who are parents and those of you who are children, that probably covers most of us. We've all been children, I think, at one time or another. A long time ago for some of us, I know. But you know what it's like when you do wrong and your parents know? They know. They know. But you won't own up. You won't say sorry. You won't confess. There is real trouble, isn't there? There's real unhappiness. You just imagine your parents watched you doing something wrong and gently hinted, and you wouldn't own up. You know what it would be like. You know what it would be like. And then when you own up and say, I'm sorry. The difference it makes. This is the difference it makes with God. He knows anyway. Own up. Confess. And God doesn't just say, okay, we'll forget about it. God says, my son, the Lord Jesus, that perfect one whom you, in whose company you would actually feel ashamed, he died for that. He bore that sin in his body. So that what you can't cover up, he actually took away. He's taken it away. He suffered in your place. And you are clean and you are forgiven. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Where are you in relation to this? Well, here it is explicit in the New Testament. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Do you trust in him? Are you happy with the fact that God knows all about you? Are you inviting God's closer scrutiny of you and feedback to you so that you can walk in the way everlasting? I think this question is actually really helpful, kind of as a diagnostic question for us to ask ourselves. How do you feel about God knowing everything about you? Think about it for yourself, maybe even discuss it amongst yourselves. How do you feel about God knowing all about you? Because it will help us to discover whether we are true Christians or not. It will help us to discover who we are trusting for our salvation, our eternal life, heaven. It will help us to discover whether we are self-righteous and trusting in ourselves to be good enough. It will help us to discover how firm our faith is in the Lord Jesus, that he really does forgive all who truly trust in him. Help us to find out if we are presumptuous. But it will also help us, if we are true believers, to work out, are we actually walking closely with God? Are we walking in the way everlasting? Or are we harboring bad thoughts, unbelieving thoughts, bitter thoughts, vengeful thoughts, lustful thoughts, greedy thoughts? Or are we walking in the way everlasting, totally, totally forgiven, but also walking closely with our God who knows us perfectly? How happy are you with the fact that God does know everything about you? I'll leave that with you.